This morning's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Thank you, Caitlin. Turn to the person next to you and share something that stood out from the reading. So we have the privilege this morning of hearing from my mother. So my mum is here. She and my dad are deeply inspirational people who have shaped my journey with Jesus probably more than anyone else. I reflect on that. When you have young children and you realise how much time you give them, and then you go, oh my goodness, my parents did the same to me, and I just left home. Do you know what I mean? And I just abandoned it. You know, those things are humbling. But my mum has inspired both me and my wife, Billy, quite considerably in the area of seeing Jesus' work of justice. And so we invited her to speak a little bit last night to bring a fair trade stall to our fair trade evening last night. And the fair trade stall is out in the foyer for you to purchase some things that make a difference to those in the developing world. But I'm going to pray now for my mum as she comes and preaches this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much for mum. I thank you for the love that you have for her and the love that you have poured into her for others. And I pray that your spirit working in her would speak to us and that we would be shaped and changed by what you have to say this morning. So speak, Lord, for your children are listening. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it is a real privilege for us to be here, and we are honored to be a part of your congregation from time to time. I'm a little bit older than my husband, and I frequently say, I'd like to retire to Whanganui. We'll see what happens. But this morning, this reading which Caitlin brought to us is from the Gospel of Luke. And did you know that the Gospel of Luke, that Luke as a writer, is the only gospel writer who got to have a second book, Son of Luke, The Return of Luke. The book of Acts is also by the gospel writer Luke. So he's the only one that got a second one. And I guess he just had so much to say, which is wonderful. He's also the one to draw a real importance of Jesus's passion and design to be there for the poor, and is concerned for the poor. The good news is preached to the poor. The poor receive God's blessing in chapter 6. In chapter 14, the poor are invited to the great feast or banquet. In 16, the poor man Lazarus is carried to heaven by angels. And in 12, Jesus commands his disciples to sell what they have and give their money to the poor. His mother Mary, in the Magnificat that we sing in Evensong, sings her response to the news of carrying the Son of God, that that God raises up the poor and he puts down the proud and sends the rich away empty-handed. And this is what we see in today's reading, which is sometimes referred to as Jesus' manifesto. And if you support a political party, then you would want to be aware, wouldn't you, of what the manifesto of that political party is, and find out what they believe and why they do what they do. And Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61 and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And isn't it interesting that this comes right after the temptation in the wilderness and the baptism? He's been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit as he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. None of this is just him on his human strength. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. So it's like it sets out the expectations and the themes of his mission. It's rooted in the mission of God, as we see throughout the whole Old Testament, but particularly in Isaiah, where God calls out for valleys to be made raised up, hills to be made low, and for the for the lamb is going to lie with the lamb, the lion is going to lie with the lamb. Things are going to be different. It is going to be an upside down kind of kingdom. And when John the Baptist sees him, he says, and his disciples come, when John the Baptist's disciples come to him and say, oh, is he the real thing, you know? And John says, is he the real thing? His disciples go and ask Jesus, and Jesus says, the blind can see, the poor are preached the good news. Go back and tell him what you're seeing. Again, he's referring to that same manifesto, and John then knows for sure that Jesus is who he says he is. And I wonder if we wonder sometimes, how can we participate in the mission of God? How can we have a worldview that is like Jesus, that we see things the way he does? It's interesting that this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, and this is like his manifesto. But at the near the end, as we're coming towards the passion of Christ, in Matthew, he speaks about the end of the world. And I'll just read you the passage, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, probably my least favorite passage in the Bible, which is in Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous people will say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty or give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these in my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. That's a deeply sobering passage. And after so much teaching and so much witnessing and so much healing and so much interaction with people and training his disciples for 3 years, this is the kind of summation of what Jesus is saying. It almost feels like he's saying, this is my manifesto. In the end of times, I'm going to want to know what you did with it. This is how I see the kingdom of God being in this place. How does it look in your life? Now, we know that we have to hold the tension all the time between the grace of God, his utter forgiveness for us all because of what he did on the cross. And yet, when we say we are his, when we seek to follow his ways, he asks us to live differently, doesn't he? He asks us to be his people in a new way, in this upside-down kingdom. And it's not always easy, but we do know that he's called us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, we might say, well, you know, it makes me feel really guilty when I'm around people that are needy. I can't really cope with it, so it's easier if I just don't. Or we might say, you know, people that are different than me, I find it really hard to relate to. They don't go to my gym. Their kids don't go to school with my kids, and they smell different. Or we might think, you know, they come from a different background, and, you know, I won't invite them to my home because I wouldn't know what to feed them. We can use all kinds of excuses, but the Holy Spirit has called us to be people who make a difference in the world. And God will help us to overcome those things because it is the way he's called us to be. He's called us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So I want to just kind of illustrate this a little bit by saying this. Now, this is going to be real, okay? All of you right here, just this pillar here, now own everything that these people have, okay? So you have no passport, you have no credit history, you have no property, you have no privileges because of your education. In fact, you can't even prove it because you have no paperwork. And you now own pretty much them, basically. And you have no holidays. In fact, why aren't you in the factory right now? You had your one half day off this month. Why are you here? You should be sitting in the car park because they don't want to have to look at you while they're having their time together. Now, this is probably way more than the people who actually own so many parts of the world. But if I said that, if I said now, right now, these people all own you, you would say, that's not fair. That is so not fair. I've worked hard for this. And you might say, well, they're just sitting there. Why do they get all of this privilege? The reason why we say it's not fair is because we think we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. So if we love those people, we wouldn't want to own them. We wouldn't want to exploit them. We wouldn't want to oppress them. But actually we do, don't we? In lots and lots of ways, our whole society is set up that we need to keep some people poor to make the rest of us be able to be rich. So when Jesus comes with his manifesto, what really probably freaked everybody was that he was declaring the year of Jubilee. And I'm sure you've been hearing about the year of Jubilee in this church before, but the year of Jubilee, I don't know how many times it actually happened because they were often in exile or different problems coming on. But in the year of Jubilee, everybody that took property off somebody else because they were in debt had to let it go. Everybody who was a slave was set free. And everybody who had debts, they were forgiven. The year of Jubilee was deeply, deeply leveling, liberating, glorious. Except not that glorious for the people who owned it. Very good for these people, yeah? Not so good for them. So you can see why when Jesus made that statement, some of the people were real happy. Some of the people were pretty disturbed because that meant all that comfort they'd gotten used to was just about to get shaken up. And that affected their whole lives. Now, it affected your whole lives when you were slaves. And now it's going to affect everybody's lives. Because Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, comes to change all of our lives. Exactly, birthday boy. And, you know, We have choices. We have so many choices in our society. Our society is... Do you want to get down? Don't have a little plate. Okay. I'm very scrummy. When Jesus lets us be set free, he also calls us to be imitators of him and to set other people free. The reason I got involved in fair trade, in fact, from the very early days, it was partly triggered by this guy who was working for UPS, you know, the delivery people in America. And I was typing invoices in an import company for the summer as a student. And he came in and said to me, "Oh, I didn't know you were working here." And I said, "Yeah, just this summer." And he said, "So you're just exploiting third world workers?" I said, "I'm just typing invoices." Shoot. Because I had no idea how these products were being produced. It never occurred to me. It occurred to me that the people that were making these items in Japan, actually, at the time, probably wondered why, what were Americans into that they spent so much time and money on all these little fiddly, cutesy, unnecessary things. You know, I'm sure that I thought that, but I never thought about where the baskets were made or whose garden was raided to get all the stuff to make them or what working conditions the people were producing them in. Anyway, that seed went into my mind and started stirring and stirring. Later on, when I was at a Christian university and we had a guy come and speak whose name was George Hoffman. And George Hoffman was at that time the head of Tear Fund, which was a very significant relief agency in the UK at that time. And he came and spoke with such hope and such power about how much difference we can make in a really positive way for so many people who are poor and oppressed in this world. And I thought, I want to go work for that man. And then I learned about Tradecraft, and then, which is a similar sister organization to TradeAid, and I've discovered that my absolutely inborn ability and desire to shop, which is partly because I'm American, could be put to really good use in the kingdom of God through fair trade. Because I began to really realize where things I bought and things that we purchase all the time, who makes them? You know, you're hugely privileged. We are hugely privileged in New Zealand because we grow so much of the food that we can eat. You know, in the UK, you have to import almost every kind of fruit apart from soft fruits and tomatoes. You know, so much of it has got to come from somewhere else. What conditions are those people working in? We boycotted South African fruit at one stage. So then we got the oranges from Israel. Okay, what conditions were they produced in Israel? You know, all kinds of questions that we had to begin to ask ourselves. And maybe you ask those questions of yourself already, which is great. But I believe in Jesus' manifesto when he talks to us about caring for the poor as a priority, that we need to think about what it takes for us to continue to have our wonderful life here with so much on offer for us. It doesn't just mean trying to be good for good's sake, because of course we know that ultimately we need to trust in Jesus for what he did for us on the cross to make us right with God. And his sacrifice was the ultimate sign of love, wasn't it? It was the ultimate giving of himself when we all deserved to take the punishment. And he declared that we needn't be oppressed anymore. He broke the shame. He broke the heart-wrenching guilt that we can live with. He broke the damage that's been done to us by other people by dying on the cross for us. When we trust in that promise that's made, that act of sacrifice, we take it to ourselves to be set free and to learn to live like Jesus. We can serve the Lord in ways that we live every single day, and you hear that here all the time, I know you do. You can serve the Lord in the way that you choose to buy your rice, in the way that you choose to buy your coffee, in the way that you choose to buy your chocolate, in the way you choose to buy presents for your grandkids, in the way that you choose to buy your clothing. You can check out things. You can research things. You know, if you were going to buy an appliance, a washing machine or a tumble dryer or a fridge freezer, you would probably go, wouldn't you? And you'd read reviews. Did people say this one was great, but the plastic on the drawer broke? You know, or, you know, this was a great washing machine, but it's so loud. You know, you would read things, wouldn't you? Well, what if you thought about doing that for when you buy a new jacket or when you buy a pair of shoes? Because although you can't buy certified fair trade clothing in very many places in this country, there are definitely companies that are better than others. Kathmandu has worked really hard to be better than some of the other outdoor clothing companies. Same with Patagonia, which you can get in some places. And there's other companies that I'm sure some of you already know. We have the privilege because we can make choices like that. If we don't have enough money, it gets harder to make those choices, as we all know. Then use op shops, use secondhand, go on Trade Me and swap clothes, buy quality secondhand things, but don't make them go to landfill. Those of you who are at the Yes?
Op shop, clothing shop.
Okay, excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, what we need to remember is that a lot of the clothing that goes to op shops doesn't actually get sold or worn again. A lot of it gets sold on to poor countries who then have to landfill it. So the point is really that we need to all work for having fewer things, buying fewer things new, recycling everything we've got, and but keep remembering to shower, okay? The joy of being free in Christ and knowing that our sins are forgiven and that our future is safe in His hands means we are free to love others and free to show compassion in everything that we do, free to prioritize, to look out for people with less than us, not in a condescending kind of colonial kind of way, but in a really humble, God is my father, you are my brother and sister kind of way, which is deeply, deeply rewarding and liberating as well. And, you know, we don't know who the person might be that we might be able to help that could change their life. And it could be that giving them dignity of just listening to them in a conversation or helping them in some way could be the difference between them being alive or not. We need to think that we can make a difference as we seek God in small ways. Now, I talked about these people owning all of you. Well, obviously, it's the year of Jubilee, so that's been canceled. Phew. But as we go from here, not just to the stalls outside, but when you think about what you can do in a small way, maybe your small group, your home group, could choose to only ever serve fair trade tea and coffee. Maybe you could think this Christmas to only buy people fair trade presents. Wow, that would be amazing. Maybe you could encourage anybody who has a fair trade stall in the market or anything like that, keep buying from them, because the reason why Trade Aid isn't in Whanganui anymore was because enough people didn't buy their stuff there. So think of ways that you can support small enterprises that are going. Go on the website of the cathedral shop. Haha. And make some purchases. Because there's a lot more companies out there than just Trade Aid. There's quite a few more. And it's really encouraging that we can be supporting local people as well as fair trade situations. The specifics about fair trade are on those posters at the back. That is so much formed by people with kingdom theology, because a lot of Christians have been involved in fair trade right from the very get-go. And although it's many, many people that are not Christians are involved in fair trade, it was based very much on kingdom values. And can I just say, we need to remember that when we're serving the King of Kings, we do that because we are His. There's many people who try to do lots of good things. They want the kingdom, but without the king, as some people have said. We know we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is our Savior, and how much more we should be living as kingdom people, caring about those who are the lost and the lost and the least. Jesus brings the Jubilee. He makes us so that we can make a difference. Let us be faithful in little things. Strive to change some greedy habits encouraging one another to make a difference, and speak out against exploitation wherever it might be lurking. When you're in the supermarket and you buy a fair trade item, be sure and say to them at the till, "I'm so glad you stock this fair trade item. It's really handy for me to be able to get it here, and I'll keep coming back." That's what they want to hear. If you buy something and you're not sure where it's made, don't be afraid to speak to them. If you've got a minute, ask for the manager. "Do you know where this is made? Do you know what conditions this was produced under?" Keep doing that. If everybody here did that once a week, I think they'd begin to get the message in the local stores. Jesus brings the Jubilee. Let's be Jubilee bringers to all of those that we love and those we support by our purchases. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us to have passion and compassion. You have called us to be set free, to live a life that is yours, you in us. And I thank you so much that you had a manifesto that called to preach the good news to the poor and bring freedom for those who are oppressed, and to declare the year of the Lord. Amen.